Loveline.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Now.
And Dr. Drew.
That's right. No, it's Dr. Drew. The phone number here at Loveline is 1-800-LOVE-191. Corolla's off doing his big Comedy Central show, which premiered yesterday, and I saw it again tonight, and he'll be back again next week. But tonight, dear friend of the show, filling the shoes of Adam Corolla, Nicole Sullivan.
What up,
welcome.
Kids?
Welcome to the show. Welcome
what
back.
Up?
And Nicole just reminded me that she's been doing this Loveline for 12 years.
Yeah, like honestly, I'd say a solid 10 years.
It is a big whoop. I remember you guys first came on the MTV show Loveline. She's like, no, I did it 5 times before that.
Yeah, I did it a bunch before the MTV show. And then it was like, and then now they're going television. And we were with you. We're like, they're going to TV. We're with them.
We had fun. You guys came on a bunch too.
Yeah, we did.
It was good.
Well, you know, we're good looking.
Well, you are quite an attractive bunch. And Mad TV. Now, you heard it promote your new show, Hot Properties, debuts October 7th. What time, ABC?
ABC, 9:30 on Friday nights.
Friday.
After everyone's favorite, Hope and Faith.
Tell me, you know, my wife does like that show.
Does she really?
She does, yeah.
Oh, that's good news.
And tell me about Hot Properties.
Hot Properties is basically 4 women selling real estate, and they're all hot. Believe me, I'm on the lowest rank of that hotness. It gets much cuter than me, and it's like it's just like Sex in the City light.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it
like
ensemble?
Sex in the City meets Designing Women.
Yeah, got it.
And I actually really like Designing Women. I remember watching it when I was growing up. Like, so it's like women sort of chattering about life, but it's not anti-male. It's not like men turn away.
You know, if something like that, though, if it's written clever writing, would be great, right?
I swear to God. Dr. Drew, you know, I've done a kabillion pilots.
Yes.
Like, I own my house because of, and for people that don't know, like, the TV lingo.
Anderson, you're freaking Nicole out.
What did he say to me?
He told the engineer, turn your mic up. So.
Oh, I thought he said, like, turn Nicole's, and so I'll turn.
She's just slowly turning into the mic.
I'll turn for you. You know, pilots are things that you do, like pretend shows, and then they decide to pick them up or not.
People out in the real world may not know about that.
Yeah,
there's
so
millions
like
and millions of these
it's
pilots.
It's like these fake
made.
Shows, these pilots you do. I've done a million of them. Of all the pilots I've done, this is the pilot that was the funniest of anything I've ever done.
Really?
And then it got picked up, and so now it's actually on TV, which is
great.
Good news. But I swear to goodness, it's chock full of jokes, and it's not Sex in the City in that it doesn't make people, like, it's not shock value, which I kind of got annoyed about Sex in the City. Like,
yeah.
We don't talk about the size of their penises.
Well, you
like,
know,
which is
not
annoying.
Not only was all that shock and stuff, but Sex in the City was unrealistic.
Yeah.
There was some sick broads. Some of those characters were ill, emotionally ill.
Absolutely.
And it was portrayed as, oh, just liberated, and what are you going
to
do?
Loveline, brought to you by Sex in the City on TBS, Tuesday nights at 9, 8 central, and Wednesday nights at 10, 9 central.
Tuesdays.
Actually, I love that show. It's the best show on television. So, yeah. Anyway.
A huge fan.
Well, anyway.
I really was a fan.
I liked it a lot. Again, it was well written, and I just didn't like the fact that it wasn't more realistic in terms of the real, who those people actually were in real life.
I'm the craziest of the four, so, it goes for me. But it's fun. Just tune in. It's fun.
And we were talking a little bit off the air that Mad TV has had a renaissance on Comedy Central. My kids have picked up on it. And they TiVo it and watch Mad TV like the goddamn Zapruder tapes. I mean, they like study. and my son, I watched one tonight where you guys are on Gilligan's Island speaking in Spanish.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Funniest thing ever.
It's so funny. It's just like different sketches in Spanish. Honestly, Mad TV is one of those shows. Like, I was there when it was born. I'm a million years old now. And it's my baby, and I love it. And it's, guys, it's anyone who wants to watch it, it's still just as edgy as it was then.
And I remember back in the day when you started it, it was always getting canceled. It was the show that got canceled 4,000 times.
Last season.
This is it, guys. Mad TV's had it up. It's over. Yeah. 19 seasons later, you guys are like, I guess we're going for a while. It's had some serious talent on there. I mean,
it's been great. But I said when it first got picked up, I said 20 years. I honestly
really?
Said it like I was a baby then. I was 24. So who knows what I knew, but
Alex Borstein we have frequently, and so we're friends with the Family Guy folks, and so they're
the best. And, you know, I'm a voice for hire for Family Guy.
You do some voice there?
Sure.
What have you done? I played myself twice. Well, no, I played.
I've heard you. I know.
Chris's dermatologist, and I broadcast with Stewie.
I never heard the dermatologist thing.
So, yeah, when he has the zit that takes over his head.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, that was
good times. Good times. So, well, shall we help some people out? What do you think?
I'd love to.
Or talk more about your upcoming show.
No, just me. Just me for 2 hours.
Okay, here we go. Let's, I haven't even glanced at these calls yet. Mm-hmm-hmm.
Wait, as co-host, do I get to pick?
Hey, absolutely.
Wait, I've never seen the computer screen. This is huge for me.
This is your co-host. You can take the show wherever you want. And the great thing, you can even be like Corolla and just talk incessantly the whole show if you want and not take any calls.
Oh, that's a female, I assume, right? That one, Mary.
Gwen, yeah.
Okay, Gwen. Jason. I want to, gosh, my instinct. I want to go there.
Okay, here we go.
Just do it!
Gwen, who is 21. Gwen?
Hi.
This is going to be a great call. Hi, Gwen. How are you?
Hi.
I'm good. Hi, Nicole.
How are you?
I'm good. You're so funny. I can't believe I called in on a night that you're there.
Aw, thanks so much,
so funny.
Gwen.
So talented.
I know. She is. Anyway, so I have a question for you guys. I'm married. I've been married about a year and a half, and I can't get over a crush that I have on my husband's brother.
Ooh.
And it's really terrible because I know that it's completely unhealthy. You know?
Hey, let's roll it back a little bit. How did you meet your husband first or the brother-in-law?
I met my husband first. I met him in high school.
And the brother-in-law, when did that attraction come along?
Probably about a year into going out with, you know, my husband, who was my then boyfriend.
And then that was just no way after that, right?
Right.
You never consummated in any way?
No.
Okay, and why'd you get married? Carrying this torch for the brother-in-law, you get married at 20. Come on.
I know. See, it's not something that is like, I try to convince myself out of it. Of, like, not liking him or whatever.
Well, let's get back to your marriage.
You're 21 now?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, so you get married at, do the math.
Maybe 19.
Yeah, 19.
Oh, why?
I know. I always have you talking in my head, Dr. Drew, about how young marriages always fail.
They don't always fail, but if you want to look at the numbers that are the worst, it's the marriages.
Isn't Dr. Drew a genius?
Nicole
will be visiting me all week.
I swear to God, he is. Okay, go. Sorry, Gwen. Go ahead.
In Nashville?
I'm from California.
Ah.
I can't even listen to the show out here.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm glad my words shaped her behavior so perfectly.
So perfectly that she did exactly what you said not to do.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, Gwen, here's the deal. Are you going to see this marriage through? You want
to
stay married?
I can't imagine. I can't imagine it working, and then I can't imagine it not working.
You have to decide, are you going to hang with this marriage or not?
You're in a perfect place, Gwen. I mean, not perfect. Ideally, you'd know forever. But the fact that it's like you're going, I see both sides, it's up to you right now. Like, you have to make a mental decision, and it's honestly going to be the biggest choice of your life.
Right. Mm-hmm. And if you go, you're going to see this through, which is fine. You got to not even be around the brother-in-law. You can't even have the potential of going down that path. You know there's a spark there. You know there's a chemistry. Do not let it ignite. You have your responsibility to stay away from that guy. Don't let it happen. Don't get near it. And work on your marriage. Don't have a kid to solve the problem.
No.
Oh, I'm not. Yeah. I know I'm not having kids for like 10 years.
Can I give a girl sort of response also?
Let me finish one thing. And you could get divorced, but then you're going to give up the brother-in-law too, don't forget. So you're not going to be with this brother-in-law no matter what. So,
I know that.
Nicole, what?
Yeah, honestly, no matter what sees, you're not being with him. Here's the best way to get over someone that, like, he seems perfect in theory, which is the whole thing about, like, imaginary crushes.
Uh-huh.
Next time he's around, look at his zits. Look at the hair on his back. Honestly, make yourself nauseous over him because the bottom line
Nicole thinks about her boyfriend, her fiance on the John. that's sort of how she deals with it.
Just like imagine, he's honestly as annoying as your husband can be to you, which all husbands can be, he can be just as annoying. You have to go to that place with him. You can't imagine him to be perfect. Imagine the zits, imagine the hairlessness, imagine the hair in the wrong place, and just sort of honestly force yourself to get it out of your brain because it's just you stopping yourself.
If she were like 30, I'd say something in the order of the fact that she's using this idealized vision of the brother-in-law as a way of sort of distancing herself from an intimacy.
Yeah, yeah.
But she's 21 and 20-year-old. Who knows? She could be really just attracted to the guy.
He may be hotter than...
That's what I'm saying.
But she's got to realize that he's just as stupid as his brother.
Absolutely.
If she's mad at her brother.
Yeah. I'm with you. Ashley's 17.
Hello?
Hey, what's up, Ashley?
I wanted to know if it was possible that it could be genetic that I can enjoy myself having sex.
Can't enjoy yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
because
Ashley.
My mom can't, and I can't, and
ooh.
I already had five times.
Wait, five times what?
Tried to have sex five times, didn't enjoy it. What do you mean by not enjoy it? You mean not have an orgasm?
Like, nothing whatsoever.
Do you have any, you want to sort of give me some history to make sure there's not something predisposing to all this? Were you ever sexually abused? Any physical abuse?
Yeah.
I was molested
by my mom's boyfriend. Well, ex-boyfriend.
And I can predict that that happened to your mom, too, because that's why she brings a sexual abuser into the house, and that's why she's shut down.
And so I got almost raped by an current ex-boyfriend.
Fantastic. So we don't really have to go down the genetic path, do we? There's a lot of environmental stuff here that's shut you down. And in fact, some research has shown if the sexual abuse was painful, you can actually have what's called a somatoform dissociation, where you disconnect from your body and you don't
somatoform?
Really. Somatoform. You don't. Your soma, I mean, your body. You just don't feel anything sort of below the
waist.
You really
like
don't.
You numb out.
You're
basically.
Actually numbed out. Just the way people psychologically numb out, actually somatically numb out too. And so, Ashley, yeah, there's a lot here. Now, unfortunately, when people have been sexually abused, what happens is they can go from being shut down like this to becoming hypersexual and then shutting down again. They go kind of back and forth. And, you know, this is something that should be treated, really. This is not about orgasmic function. This is about trauma.
But Dr. Drew, I mean, I listen to the show all the time, and you say it should be treated, but it's very scary for
very
kids.
Very tough to treat.
I mean, when you're someone like a kid, like, it should be treated. Like, I wouldn't know what to do if I were a teenager. Like,
you know.
How should I...
You're
at,
Nicole, you're absolutely right, and it's glib to just say, I'm glib, just like Matt Lauer. It's glib to just...
that, we can talk about that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's another story. To say, yeah, just gonna get it treated, because the reality is these are complex things to treat. There's not even uniformity of philosophy about how to approach them. But fundamentally, at very least, she needs to get in some mental health services. You can start with your school.
Should she go to the school nurse?
Usually there's some sort of school counselor. Mm-hmm. If you have a doctor, tell your doctor and get a referral.
But most of the times, these kids don't go to doctors by themselves.
I know.
Go with their parents.
Well, that's true. And here's here's something to look for. If you're with a doctor, you're 15 or older,
mm-hmm.
that doctor should take the parent out. It should meet you with your parent,
mm-hmm.
set some ground rules about you being the doctor. You're going to take care of the adolescent.
Mm-hmm.
Have a meeting together and then say, now meet with each of you alone. And then separate the child and the parent, meet with each alone, and
so
then meet
maybe,
with both of them.
Maybe if you're a kid,
again.
You could say to the nurse, whisper to the nurse, by the way, can you ask the doctor? I don't want to ask, but can you ask the doctor to meet with us separately?
Yes, but adolescent, anybody that deals with adolescent should know. Meet together, meet apart, and then back together again.
I know, should know is a big
word.
I know.
These days when nobody has time to do anything. So.
But when you're in trouble, like Dr. Drew's saying, and you need help, just talk to someone who you know won't talk to your parents, and just try to get any angle to talk to a therapist.
Does your mom know you've been sexually abused?
Yeah, she does, but she doesn't really care. And I already tried.
Well, you know what? When moms have been sexually abused themselves, it's not even that they don't care. They shut down to all this.
They're sort of like, suck it up.
They're so overwhelmed by having put their daughter in the same thing. It's like, I can't just shut off. Just can't deal. And but Ashley, do you have an idea who you might want to talk to?
I already tried therapy and all that.
Well, no. Therapy is not something you try. Therapy is something you do for like 5 to 10 years.
What do you mean you tried therapy? Where?
Like, I went to counselors for school, and I also saw this program that said that if you maybe it was a man's fault that you couldn't get turned on.
No, Ashley, this is not about not being turned on. Forget about the turn on thing.
It's not about sex.
It's about the trauma. Listen, we can have a separate discussion about orgasmic function and arousal and stuff, and that's interesting.
And that's everyone's problem, by the way.
Yeah.
That's every girl ever has that problem.
You know, they finally did some studies came out recently that showed it's a genetically based issue for the most part.
Oh, really? Orgasms?
And how much, you know, whether you're multiple or single or
really?
Trouble.
Really?
Mm, for sure.
But you forget about that. That's not the issue. The issue is you need to deal with your anger at your mom for not dealing with your trauma, which is that you were abused.
Yeah, and it's, and you're not going to trust the therapist, and you're going to find reason to sabotage it, but get back into the people
you'll
talking
enjoy
to.
Sex eventually, but that should be like the last thing on your list right now.
I'll tell you the other thing that people like Ashley do is that they will then go for really, really bad people.
Yeah.
And only with them can they feel sexual
because it's
a bad part of themselves that they feel ashamed of. And
amen. Amen. I know that. I know that, sister.
Is there a story?
Well, yeah. I mean,
I think a lot of young girls do that just generally.
Yeah, it's the, like people say, like rank the sex. I have to say, in my life, when people like the best sex, it, of all my boyfriends, I mean, people I've loved and cared for.
Fiance's listening now, easy.
I love you, Jason, my fiance. There's no way to rank the sex. Like, I honestly couldn't. Like, I don't care. Like, it's great. It's like, it is what it is.
Right.
The only sex that stands out is like this one jerko who thought was stupid.
I did a whole television show on this. I'm fascinated by that. What is that?
And he wasn't a bad guy. He wasn't mean to me.
But
he didn't hit me.
What is that? What is that? Because men don't have that.
Because it was control. Like, I was smarter than him. I knew better than him. I was in control for like a minute of my life because he was so dumb and so stupid and like shaped like a gorilla. Like, I was like, he was an idiot, and I got to control the situation, and that was the best
sex
of my life.
You got to use him.
I got to exactly.
But some women talk about being sort of swept away and being out of control as being that. See, this is why.
But this is what I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the out of control is women choosing to become out of control. I think that's when they have the best sex. Women.
But they only do that with the JOs, you know, the guys who are sort of sociopaths.
But I think that a woman being out of control legitimately is scary as shoot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But like, they choose to be out of control. Like, what? You're holding my wrist down? What?
Oh, pretend out of control.
Yeah,
stuff.
Exactly. I think that's what they mistake for out of control. Like, they choose to be out of control.
Well, some people, if they've been traumatized in a powerless circumstance, they will then be attracted to really out of control situations and will actually recreate, you know, more serious.
It is, we can, yeah.
It's very interesting. Here's the thing I do know is that, I've said this before the last couple of weeks, is that what makes by the way, is this Tuesday? Tuesday, Wednesday?
Tuesday,
okay. My show's Discovery Health Channel. Some of you are listening across the country.
Dr. Drew is drunk
midnight
and on shrooms.
Discovery Health Channel.
And
that the thing that makes men is there's something called the sex chromosomes. Right? Mm-hmm. The things, our genetic materials is packed into little chromosomes. And the sex chromosomes, XY chromosome, what makes a male is the Y chromosome. And it's decaying. It's getting smaller with time. And it's already a small piece of genetic material, pretty much the same in all men. So what makes a male is pretty much all the same.
Right.
The X chromosome, which is a large piece of genetic material, lots of information, extremely diverse, different one from the other. Women have two of those.
Right.
So no two women are really the same. They're very different, which adds to the confusion,
but
all these things.
I think with women, we honestly make it up as we go. Like, it's one of those things.
Wonder guys are so confused.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and I think that I really believe that women don't like bad guys. I truly believe that. Like,
most women, I agree with you.
Most, like, unless they've been terribly abused.
Right, right, right.
But even slightly abused or sort of emotionally abused,
yes,
they don't want bad guys.
Yes.
They just want to be bad girls because that's exciting.
But the only time they can do that is with a bad guy?
Not necessarily.
Oh, okay.
I actually would stand for the other. I mean, you would know more than I do, but
no.
I think
no.
Girls,
when it comes
to
women, people are very confused.
Women can be bad girls with the right guys. We all want to be a little bit dirty. We all want to be a little bit
And that guy would be different for different women, or is that the same guy for all women?
No, I think different, but he wouldn't be the bad guy.
He'd be a safe guy?
He'd be a safe guy.
All right, I think. You want to take something lighter?
Yeah.
Okay. And Nicole, we have a game on the show called Germany or Florida.
Oh, what does that mean?
Okay. Anderson, you got the...
Oh, wait, I've heard this.
Yes. Basically, Adam realized that all the macabre, weird stories out there in the press either emanate from Germany or Florida. So our callers call in with the story. We tell them Germany or Florida. We sort of play game. Eric.
I love this.
Oh, here. This is David Allen Greer's version. Hold on a second, Eric. We got to hear the theme song.
Is it Germany or Florida? Hey!
You guys got energy.
Germany or Florida? Let's find out.
Got energy.
I honestly want to do my version of that and see if I can try to.
Yeah.
We'll see. Maybe by the end of the show.
Not now?
Well, no.
Okay, by the end of the show. Okay.
No. Go to hell!
Uh-oh.
He'll get pissed? Well, we'll challenge him at least.
I love David Allen Greer. He's hilarious.
Eric, what's going on?
Hey, Drew, it's Eric at the print shop in Phoenix.
Hey, Eric, what's going on? He's an Adam aficionado.
Oh, really?
He pretends to be Adam.
A little bit. But not tonight, though. Nicole.
Yeah.
You have the most beautiful eyes God ever put in a woman.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Your fiance is a very lucky guy. Whenever you're on Mad TV, my wife calls me in from the other room and says, hey, your girlfriend's on.
That's sweet. What's your wife's name?
What's that?
What's your wife's name?
Michelle.
Michelle. Hi, Michelle.
Oh, she's not listening, I hope. but anyhow.
Let Nicole believe the fantasy for a second, will you, Eric? Come on, relax.
Yeah, quite a fantasy, let me tell you. Germany, Florida. Man was arrested at his home the morning after he attempted to break into a liquor store. He had apparently used a chain wrapped around the bumper of his car to try to pull the bars from the front doors of the store. When he accelerated away from the doors, the bumper was ripped from the car.
With the license plate.
Exactly.
I think we heard this one. But I can't remember whether it was Germany or Florida, but it sounds Florida. What do you think? Europe, all the bumpers are incorporated.
Yeah, it absolutely sounds Florida.
It sounds like a pickup truck
or
something.
It sounds Florida.
Yeah. All right, Florida. Go Florida.
It is Tallahassee, Florida.
Well done, Eric. Thank you. Well, thanks for the call. All
right. Thanks,
all right, buddy. Take care. All right, you pick another one. Oh.
Oh, no.
What?
Yes, that one.
That one, okay.
Oh, no.
Melanie, 20.
Melanie.
Hi.
Hey there, Melanie.
Melanie, I'm concerned. What's going on, Melanie?
Well, I have a tumor in my thyroid.
Yeah.
Is it benign? Do you know?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
It's Hashimoto's thyroiditis.
So it's not really a tumor, it's a nodule.
Yeah.
And Hashimoto, do you have Hashitoxicosis or do you have Hashi's thyroiditis?
See, this is where I want to jump Drew's bones. Like, how awesome is Dr. Drew? He's like, is it Schmidt or Schlenkabitibit?
This is the leading cause of hypothyroidism.
Okay.
Which is also called chronic lymphocytic thyroiditis.
Hypo, you get fat or you get thin?
Hypo, you get fat.
And then hyper, you get thin?
Yeah.
Okay.
And this particular one can have a hyper phase, kind of unusual, but it's the leading cause of hypo.
Yeah.
And so you're hypo and you have a nodule. Got it.
Yeah.
And where's the nodule?
It's in the thyroid. It's not cancer. Not cancer. Melanie.
Okay, go, Melanie.
Okay. Well, I've probably had it since I was about 15 or 16. I was wondering how it affected my sex drive because I wasn't really at an age where I would really know the difference.
It could knock you down a notch or two, and it can also affect your growth and development, more importantly. And it has an influence on circulating sex hormones and on... Well, it's sort of the accelerator of the body. You know,
it kind of down regulates.
And so naturally enough, things like sexuality can be affected by that too. But it's definitely not permanent. Although people with autoimmune thyroid disease, which is what you have, are at some added risk of autoimmune disease in other endocrine organs like the ovaries. So you got to just kind of keep an eye on it.
You got to ask your gynecologist to like do that because there's an extra ovarian disease sort of test you can do these days, right?
Yeah, there's a few things you can do. Not quite sure you're referring to, but
he's smiling at me, going, that's cute.
But if you get any irregularities in your period, you're going to need to be on thyroid replacement. Take the replacement, get the test to make sure it's right. And if your periods are still irregular, then you might want to check out the ovarian
function.
But
as far as sex drive, I would say it should be normal.
Everything should be completely normal with this.
This is the thing. Every girl goes through this. Like at 20, I was like, I hate sex. I hate everything. You just got to go
I want to pick
yourself.
This discussion. We have to actually take a break, but I want to pick this discussion up there because that you seem to have
Florida or Germany. You pick one. One Florida or Germany. That's my battle.
Nicole Sullivan is my co-host. Her new show is called Hot Properties. It comes out October 7th on ABC. That's Friday at 9:30. Are we going to hear another Dag?
Germany or Florida.
it's Germany.
Oh, Florida.
Yours much better.
I can do fart noises with mine.
All right, we'll do it. We'll come back. In the meantime, the phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. The great Nicole Sullivan, you know her from Mad TV. And she's going to tell us all about how women's brains work after this.
Loveline will be right back. So get your problems ready. Ready.
Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. The great Nicole Sullivan. Hot Properties coming out October 7th on ABC, 9:30 Fridays.
9:30 Friday nights, kids. And she's Tune it in.
You've been in the King of Queens for 4 years?
Yeah, I know.
And Mad TV, of course, forever.
For 6 years before I'm 100 years old. Hold on. I'm reading all these things.
Okay.
What's relationship?
Well, you're going to tell us about how women's brains work. You say all women. You started with all women want to do that, and that, I thought, okay, this I have to hear what all women want to do.
Wait, I don't even know where I was going with that. We were talking about sex.
Something about sex and what makes them unhappy when they're teenagers and all.
I mean, the thing is this: like all women, this is the fallacy is that like I love when guys go like, my girl loves having sex many times, and she can come many times. Like it's all.
BS.
I can't say that. Yeah. BS.
Well, first of all, you understand, men are indoctrinated with the idea that women are experiencing the same thing that they are.
Absolutely,
and they are not.
Absolutely not.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
And I'm saying that as someone, I legitimately actually really like sex. Mm-hmm. And my fiance, I love you, Jason. Like, we have great sex. Like, it's amazing. But I'm also in my 30s, and it's so much different now than
Better.
It was. It's honestly a lie. My 20s was a lie of sex.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like,
why did you guys do it? Men are driven out of their mind to do it.
Because you want to be that person to them. You want to be that good to that person. You're like, I want to be
why? This is the thing that drives me insane.
Approval.
But why do women, why do they get the approval by going, here's what I need, here's what I'm looking for in this relationship, and you... No, unrealistic.
Like,
no guys. Then.
There's no, at 24, you're going to go, here's what I need in this relationship.
But,
no, you're going to give the best BJ you can and hope that they really like you. That's the truth.
But that's so, I have to use such a pejorative term, it's pathetic.
Yeah, it's so pathetic. And ladies, it leads you to nowhere. Like, I didn't get engaged till I was 35 for a reason. It's because I was constantly trying to prove myself and... I mean, I have to say, I was not a slutty person. Like, I didn't lose my virginity till I was 21. Like, I was really a prudish. Mm-hmm. And I've only slept with, like, 15 people in my life, which is, you know, not a lot considering that I'm 35 and got engaged. Like, but the problem is, like, you're convinced at the time, like, I just wanted to make a mark. Like, I wanted to, like, remember me.
So different than what men's motivational priorities are. Different.
Their motivation is that evening. My motivation was remember me in a month.
Their motivation is I have to do this.
Yeah.
I have to.
Mine was I really, like a girlfriend of mine did a thing, and this is, I don't want to talk glibly using the word rape. I really don't. But my girlfriend said like half of my sexual experiences in my 20s were basically date rape. And I don't mean to be glib, but like it's these moments you're like, I don't really want to, but you do anyway. Ladies, it's not worth it. They don't care. You think they'll care tomorrow,
no.
And they don't.
There's nothing
care.
To do. That's like anathema to where they're at. Like that doesn't even figure
in. It doesn't
in.
Even
that's
matter.
It's not like what? What are you talking about? How does that?
Yeah.
I thought we're the same. Okay.
We're in the, and then they'll remember tomorrow, and then they'll.
No.
And you don't even expect a phone call. You expect them to tell their friends about you, and it's still. It just you want to matter somewhere,
wow.
And the it's I know.
I'm a convent.
You've lost.
I put my daughter
such...
in a convent. Convent. Swear to God. So you're getting married. We'll talk more about the marriage in a second. Okay. So you pick a call here. So.
Weight loss. I always love weight loss, but that's a sort of silly question.
This is kind of a way. Kind
of a... To do it. Oh, go yes, okay. go.
Sheena, 20.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, what's up?
Well, I'm pretty messed up over, like I'm 20, and I'm pretty messed up over a guy that I'm in love with, and he's 45, and nobody's been able to give me any, you know, good advice, so I was just hoping for an outside opinion.
Did you do something with this guy?
No, and it's like I've never had a physical relationship with him at all. It's just like I'm completely and totally in love with him, and I know he has feelings for me. And I mean,
how do you know that? How do you know that?
Because he's told me.
Okay.
This guy's an idiot.
I'm going to talk to you right now, real quick.
Okay.
I was 21 years old. Excuse me. Worked in an office with 35-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Had feelings for me, and he did. Like, I stand by it this day. Had feelings for me. Entered a relationship with him. Married.
He was married?
He was married. And my fiancé knows about this, so I'm admitting it. It was the worst thing I've ever done to myself. And it's, you're basically, what a kamikaze pilot is? Do you know what that expression?
Yeah, I know that guy.
Yeah, you're flying a plane down to the ground, and it's going to end in flames. And it doesn't... The thing is, I believe you. I believe that he likes you, and I believe that he has feelings for you. The thing is, it doesn't matter.
I've known him for, like, 4 years, and the thing... What makes it worse is he was married, and he has a daughter.
Yep.
And he just got a divorce, and it's like he told me he was getting a divorce before he actually, got the divorce. And I just feel responsible now that maybe some part of it had to do with me because...
Nah.
No, you're 20. Forget it. Because of 45.
I think you're adorable, but there's no way someone got a divorce over you. There's no way.
Yeah, and
I'm sure you're adorable and awesome, but there's no way.
This is not a good... There's too big an age difference. It would be a very seriously unhappy thing for you to go with this guy.
Can you imagine, when you're 40 and...
Yeah, I'm seriously unhappy right now. Just even, I know that nothing can ever happen. And that's what's just the hardest part is I just know that nothing can ever come of our relationship.
Really, the smartest thing is to get out of that environment and go have a life somewhere else, away from this guy, cut it off, and establish a new social sphere.
I tried, and I'm actually in a separate state than he is right now, but he
good.
Was
good. Keep it. That's all good. How did it get so far along?
Yeah.
It just, I worked with him when I was in high school, and then I moved away. I went to college.
Okay, well, here's the other part you got to know. This guy is an ass.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you have to know, and that's the part you can't see. They're yelling at me for you. This guy's an a-hole then. Let me say that. This guy is not, you can't see it from your perspective because, of course, you idealize him and you have all these wonderful feelings for him. But a man, a father, would allow himself to go into that kind of a relationship with even potentially evoking romantic passions in you is a jerk. Is a guy with problems and a guy you're not going to want to stay with. And if, by the way, if you want to know how his next relationship is going to end, look at the last one. Okay? That's how yours is going to end.
Imagine a guy you're going to get married, let's say, in 5-10 years, right? And imagine your husband all of a sudden likes a 16, 17, 18-year-old. What would you think of him?
Oh, I think he's a bastard.
Yeah, that's who you're attracted to right now.
Something's wrong. Something's very, very wrong there. And I don't know him, but I can tell you there's a symptom here that suggests something is very
wrong. I believe you when you say that he has feelings for you. I believe you. And the bottom line is be the bigger person and dump him.
Take a quick one from Dave, 19. Dave?
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
We're good. What's going on there, buddy?
I had a little question about a drug test here.
Oh, I love these. Because the answers are always the same. And people always call like, wait, one more thing. How can I trick this drug test?
Right.
All right, Dave, what do you have?
Here we go.
I've heard it before that it's like body weight, about like how long it takes to get out of your system.
That's true. But
for me, it's
THC?
Yeah.
Last Friday, and I need to take a drug test September 1st to get
the last time you smoked. Last time you smoked pot was
Friday.
10 days ago?
Last Friday, correct.
And you have a test coming up on September 1.
He should be fine.
Yeah. Were you even smoking an 8-ball a day for 2 years?
No. Not exactly that, but
I think
for a good 3 or 4 months.
8-ball? You can use 8-ball with pot, too?
People talk about it that way. I don't know what the hell they're talking about, even frankly.
No.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
Some slang there.
A lid. I used to call them lids when I was in high school.
You should be fine then.
Well, you should be fine even at that heavy consumption. Certainly, if you're going to be changing your exercise patterns or losing weight, you'd want to do that now because stuff can be released from the fat even several weeks later. But you're talking about 6 weeks, and that should be fine.
Wear a garbage bag and take a nice jog.
The other question I had is that some drug tests that my friend was telling about, they take a piece of your hair.
Yeah, that one, that's a nefarious test. That's hard to interpret. It's hard to predict how it's going to turn out. I'd be more concerned about that if they're going to do a hair test. But they normally don't do that because they really are not really reproducible. They can't really do much with it.
If they're going to, wait, what?
You can contest it.
If they're
going to
do
easily.
That, you may be working for the wrong firm if you're if you're a pot smoker.
Yeah, good point. But he said he's not being an airline pilot.
Wait, did you hear that? I mean, I don't mean to stop the questions, but remember there was that story, because I know you're a big you know, anti-ecstasy person, and that the kid who died from ecstasy, supposedly, and he actually died from ecstasy and cocaine. I saw it on Dateline, and they took some of his hair, and they said of his hair, like, it was like 80%, like, the serotonin. They could tell how much serotonin levels he had from his hair.
Interesting. So he had a serotonin excess syndrome, the serotonin syndrome, which is a rare complication of
it was like one of the very few, and the mother donated his brain to science, knowing that, it was rough.
Poker. Mm-hmm. I watched you kill everybody. It seemed like a shill. Like, you were pretending like you didn't know what you were doing, and then some of your betting was diabolical.
Listen, I'm not going to lie to you. I can play a little poker. I've never actually, before I played
diabolical.
That game.
Diabolical. Did you see it? Did you hear the commentary?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
Well, here's a little fun fact for the kids at home. Between the first match that I played, I honestly, I've been playing poker my whole life, but I only played Texas Hold'em once.
Did anybody know that?
Yeah. I told them, but I sort of played dumb, but they all sort of bought into it. And between that game and the finals, I totally made out with Phil Gordon. The poker pro.
Yes.
And he's so cute, and he's worth $98 million. Nice. So I was like, I'm gonna give it a shot. I mean, he's super cute. And the finals game, he was like, Sullivan makes another nice move. Suddenly he was on my side. But I have to say, I'm not a bad poker player because they really think I'm dumb. Like, no matter, I've played now a handful of really good tournaments. You know, and I always play dumb, like, I'm just stupid, and I don't know what I'm doing, and they always buy it, and the bottom line is I'm pretty good.
Really?
I mean, I'm okay.
Really good. I mean, you watched the game, it was pretty amazing. And I saw the one where I think Paul Rudd was sitting across from you.
Oh my God, that was the worst.
Why?
Because I was on tilt, because I played a hand right before that really badly, and I was so mad at myself that I stayed in on a hand I shouldn't have. And
you ended up killing them all.
With Paul Rudd, I drew two cards to an inside straight. I mean, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. And push him out of the game.
All right. We had to do what we had to do. He's a very nice guy, by the way.
Oh, Paul Rudd's the best.
All right, we got to take another break here.
I have so many more questions.
Yeah, we have a lot of questions. So we still got to talk about marriage.
How much more time do we have?
We got hour and 15. We're
okay, good.
And we got to talk about, you can say the whole show.
Video.
Yeah?
Oh, that's awesome.
And a necrophilia. Beautiful.
Necrophilia.
All right, we'll start with a necrophilia call after the break. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. We're also going to talk about marriage, right? You had questions about marriage?
Yeah.
I wonder how you went from making out with a poker pro to being engaged, but whatever. This is Dr. Drew. Adam is away this week, and in his shoes
I sound like Adam, right?
The great Nicole Sullivan. Exactly. The sensitivity, the erudite nature of what we're discussing here. Particularly the insight into the female. That's
erudite.
That's
is such an Adam word.
Absolutely. He talks just like that. All right, we'll be back right after this.
Hello? Who's this?
This is Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline will be right back.
Nicole Sullivan joins us on Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Her new show is called Hot Properties. October 7th, it debuts. It's 9:30 Fridays, ABC. You can also catch her on King of Queens and, of course, Mad TV, where if I had to list all... I mean, what was your favorite character on Mad TV? Lucy Ball?
Oh, I love doing Lucille Ball. Yeah. It, you know, just mostly because, like, you know, just I'm an over-actor like she is. Like, I'm just a huge bad actress. But I have to say my favorite character was Antonia, which is, I mean, not a lot of people know it, but, like, this character that talked like this.
Hello, Didi. Yes.
And that was really just the voice I did when I talked to my kitty cat, whose name was Didi. Hello. And it became a character. And it was
would you sit around and sort of work stuff out as a group, or would you sit with writers and sort of, or you do write them yourselves, or how would that work?
You know, the Vancomb lady, which is the one that I did the most. Like,
yes.
Yeah, hi, how are you today? Nice, you know, like that weird woman I did for my audition, and that's just based on, like, a really mean woman in Skokie, Illinois.
Right.
And that one, was the most popular, and I love doing her, but that one I came up with myself, and then, you know, Antonia came up with myself. And then there's also, like, Darlene McBride, which is, like, this really mean Southern, like, red state, like, I love guns and Republicans.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And that was all the writers, Taryn Lanier. Like, so there's a lot of stuff I did that was just theirs. Like, I wish I could take credit for a lot of the stuff.
Don't you sing something as her? Is there a song? With
Yeah. There's a lot of songs. Yeah. Like, take your butt back to Mexico. Adios and that's that. Yeah, it's all racist. Whenever there's a racist character, it's me.
Oh, good. That's good.
But based on nothing.
And are you guys all still friends? Or?
You know, listen, it's not the cast of Friends. It's not like me and Courtney are hanging out buying homes together. But
right. Me
and Mike McDonald are very close, like really close. And me and Mo Collins and Alex Borstein and Will Sasso and I went to his birthday party. And yeah, we're actually, it's a really good family.
Oh, like Stephanie? Is that?
Yeah, Stephanie Weir. Oh, my God.
You guys are close with?
Yeah. I mean, Stephanie and I sort of like, we sort of were only overlapped like a year and a half, so we never got that close. I was sort of on my way out as she came in.
Right.
But Stephanie Weir is so talented. Like, she's genius.
Well, all of you, yeah, all of you, like sort of genius level.
Not all stuff. Of us. You know, I can.
Name a few that weren't?
Yeah.
Well, I know Will. I met Will a couple times.
Will is so funny.
When he was fat.
When he's fat. Only in fat. So. Will gained the weight back. Jesus. I mean, geez Louise. Can I say Jesus?
Yeah, whatever. It's John 21. John?
Yes.
What's going on there, buddy?
Well, I borrowed my buddy's laptop a few days ago, and I was just scrolling through some of his files, and I found some movies of people having sex with corpses, dead people. And to tell you the truth, it really freaked me out. I never thought that he'd be into that kind of thing.
All right. What's your question?
I'm wondering, well, his mom passed away when he was a freshman in high school, when we were both freshmen in high school. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if there might be something wrong with him. I mean, his dad was a pediatric homicide cop in Anaheim for about 50 years.
Oh, interesting. So my thinking on that would be more, I know very little about necrophilia or having people like aroused by seeing dead people and stuff. Yes,
okay.
I'm in. And Nicole, we were wondering if you were going to be a bogus caller or not, because on our screen here it says, should I confront him? And I said, Nicole, if you'd heard this story, you'd only be interested in what the hell's wrong with your friend. And that's what you're concerned with, you know. And the fact that his father may have had pictures of dead people and stuff around. I had a nurse I worked with whose father was in homicide. He used to keep his homicide books at home. And if you see those kinds of horrifying things as a child, the amazing thing about the human is things that terrorize you when you're a kid become sources of attraction in young adulthood. And so it's possible that he saw a bunch of stuff, even just pictures, and maybe that's sort of the source of the arousal now.
I mean, does he, can I ask a question?
Sure.
If you know him personally, does he also does he also look at porn of like regular stuff, or does he like looking at the Maxim or the, you know, the Stuff magazines?
Well, he has a subscription to FHM for him magazine. And he and I have sort of, you know, chill, have a couple of drinks and everything, and just download porn off the internet, mostly like anime, just stuff to laugh at.
I can't believe you guys are single.
And
go ahead.
Porn is serious business, John. What do you mean you laugh at it? How dare you?
I'm
going to report to Mr. Carolla when he returns.
Well, I'll call back, talk to him as well. Thing is both he and I do have girlfriends. I've been going out with my girlfriend for about 4.5 years. Started up a relationship about 2 years ago. The thing that kind of concerned me about it was he has seen photos from when his dad was a police officer, because he considered being a crime scene investigator. His dad really didn't want him getting into that field. Mm-hmm. So his dad sort of tried to show him the horrifying aspects and showed him a couple photos of the most disturbing things to turn him off to the idea of it.
Well, isn't it interesting how it turned him on in a different way? And listen, you're sort of going down the right path with this, John. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a part of a bigger issue here, but it all kind of fits together for me. And, you know, I
It sounds like it'll work itself out. Like, I doubt that he's going to go F a dead body.
No,
like,
right.
It sounds like he's got a weird sort of fascination with something because of his dad.
Correct. I think that's exactly what it is. If he's able to have normal relationships and they're stable, yeah. He's not using a lot of drugs and alcohol or seeming depressed or overwhelmed in some other way or chaos in his life, I let it go. I'm sure when you guys are having beer someday, this will come up anyway. But I just
mentioned to him, like, dude, it's kind of gross. And I think he's probably a little obsessed. I watch a lot of Dateline and 48 Hours. I watch a lot of dead body stuff myself. So, like.
But this stuff, though, the stuff that these forensic guys have is just.
It's really gross.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And, you know, you see that as a kid, and it kind of tweaks your chemistry a little bit, and it can take a while to work out.
Maybe he shouldn't make him feel like he's weird? Is that the.
I just let it go. But I'm sure it will come up over a beer someday. And I wouldn't make him feel bad about it. Just say, you know, do you have a problem with this? You okay? You need help? And otherwise, if it's just. Something that's isolated and not part of a bigger issue, I'd let it go.
If he doesn't seem upset, just laugh about it and say, like, move on, dude.
Yeah, if you can, let it go. It's kind of weird, though, I must admit. So, Nicole, we got to go on another break. And it's come fast. Our show's going fast.
This is what obsesses me about the show. Is like, I just, when I get really into it, you guys are like, break, break, break.
I know. Well, we do the 20 and 40 and 54. And so here we are at 54. And we're going to do a lot more. We got a bunch of questions from Nicole on the board here. We still have to talk about marriage. We've talked about poker.
Yes.
But I'd like a few tips on that, too. And again, the great Nicole Sullivan is
the
here.
The great.
The great.
As if I'm a magician.
Dear. That would be Nicole the great.
I'm going to make Dr. Drew. Actually, I've made Adam disappear already. That's the whole point.
And it's been way too long since we've had her up here. The new show is ABC, 9:30 Fridays, Hot Properties, and we'll return with more after this.
If you need help,
call Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew. He's Adam Carolla, and he's away this week. And in
So I'm Adam Carolla.
So she's Adam Carolla. She's the Nicole Sullivan the Great. Now you sound like a ruler of Russia in the 12th century.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
She died auspiciously. Catherine, that is. Speaking of these kinds of things. And we got a bunch of calls for Nicole. The phone number again, 1-800-LOVE-191. Again, you know Nicole from Mad TV.
King of Queens, too. Help,
and a new show called Hot Properties out on October 7th, ABC, 9:30 Fridays. Do hello, Joe, so they know who you are.
Hello, Joe.
No, you're as the character that talks to your cat.
Oh, that's Cece.
Cece.
Hello, Cece. How are you today? Nice to meet you.
Michael, you have a question for Nicole?
Hi, Michael.
Oh, hi. Is that me?
That's
yeah,
you.
Yeah, go.
Caller who goes by Michael.
I'm on the fax machine right now.
Oh, well, sorry to interrupt you. Sorry.
I'm a fan of your show on Discovery Health Channel.
Oh, thanks.
And I just wanted to say that I'm a big fan of Nicole. I post on the planetmadtv.com forums, and I told him.
Nice.
Tonight.
Thank
my
you.
My question for you, Nicole, is who was your favorite cast member of all time?
As far as talent-wise, it's there's so many. David Herman was amazing. Will Sasso, Alex Borstein. But my favorite cast member I worked with, it's a tie, Brian Callen from, you know, if you're an old-school Mad TV fan, it's Brian Callen from the first 2 years. And Michael McDonald is my favorite person. He and I are so close, and he's my favorite cast member I ever worked with.
How about ladies, amongst the ladies? Can you pick?
Gosh,
because we're sort of putting on the spot because we're saying probably some people are better friends, but some people you have more sort of envy of their skill, you know, or something.
I mean, Alex, it's between Alex Borstein and Mo Collins, yeah. And I
Mo seems like a crazy good actress.
Mo Collins is amazing.
Yeah.
I have to say, my favorite character is like watching like a fan is Stewart. I love Michael McDonald's Stewart. And I love, you know, Miss Swan. So I have to say Alex Borstein because her Miss Swan character cracks me up.
Okay.
Does that answer your question, Michael?
Yes, it did. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thanks, Michael.
And there's a number three that Mo does, the high-strung, the wants to get married but is afraid she's going to be in the
frame. with a weird voice. Yes. Yeah. Trina.
Oh, my God. All right. Let's see what we got here. This, you know, is... Who's been on the hold? Here's Ben, who's been on hold for 82 minutes. Ben, what's going on there, buddy?
Oh, my God, 82 minutes.
Hey.
Hey, Ben.
I'm dating my girlfriend for a year, and still, like, even if there's, like we'll be going down the street or something, and there'll be, like, just, like, a remotely good-looking girl or something, and even if my head, like, turns that way, I'll get yelled at for hours, even if I'm not even looking towards her, just because she thinks I'm checking everybody out.
How old is she?
She's 17.
There's something that testosterone does to the male brain that puts them sort of on alert and scanning all the time, and it's almost, you have to willfully restrain yourself from that.
Yeah.
Because you will automatically do that. And if it really bothers your girlfriend that much, why don't you kind of see if you can get it under control?
Look to the ground.
That's what I try to do. But, like if we're driving down the street or something, I'm looking out the window and, like, someone's walking by, same thing happens. She'll...
Well, Nicole, what about this? She's so insecure that he's not allowed to even participate on the planet.
Well, he's not.
Well, that's it. That's
yeah, I mean, she's 17. You just can't. Like, once they get older, you can sort of explain it away and go, like, no, I love you more. But at 17, she's not going to hear that.
Too
just
fragile.
You look away. Actively look away or actively go, ew.
What is that? How, I mean, guys can't. I mean,
the
bottom line.
You
don't want them to lie. You don't want them to go, ew. You just want them just to stay. Diligently not look.
Yeah, I mean, 17-year-old. Ego for a girl is so fragile. They think they're fat and ugly and pimply every minute of the day, even if they're not.
Is that something that other females do to them?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, girls at 17, girls dress for girls.
Yeah.
They wear clothing for other girls. They wear their hair for other girls. They give BJs for boys. That's what we do for boys. We
but
dress
to outcompete other girls.
Yeah, we dress and act to outcompete other girls. So you looking at another girl means her entire day of looking at her hair was ruined. It was for nothing.
It's so hard for me to understand.
I mean,
that.
even if you're not attracted to the other girl, it means her day of brushing her hair the right way and doing everything right was for nothing. So you just gotta actively look the other way.
Wow.
I know.
Women are so interesting. This is Emily, 17.
Hi, this is, never mind, sorry.
Emily, I'm looking at what you're, Emily, talk.
I'm, like, nervous. Yeah. Oh, my God, I'm on the air. Okay, so I was raped when I was 15, and I lost my virginity when I was 13.
Who were you raped by?
My friend's dad.
Oh, my God.
Shootsies.
And what happened at 13? That's a little young to be getting going.
My parents split.
Oh, so you were sort of acting out and depressed.
And who'd you sleep with at 13?
My 13-year-old boyfriend.
Okay.
All right. And so it's been kind of rough since you were 13.
And your friend's dad. What the? Come on,
did you report
dude.
It?
No. So I know I have like 5 more years, but... I don't want to lose the relationship I have with my friend, so it's kind of a little dilemma I'm in.
But you don't go over to their house anymore, I assume, right?
I don't see the dad. Like, the last time I saw him was New Year's, I think.
And you know not to be alone with him and not to be around perpetrator like that. But here's the deal. The fact that you had been so badly victimized by this guy and then didn't report it suggests that victimization is something you've gotten used to maybe earlier in your life.
I don't know. There's nothing really. I don't know. I've been tormented and abused like my entire life.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm not saying you necessarily were sexually
abused. Emily,
maybe
that's it.
maybe that's
tormented and abused, sweetie.
Yeah, that's tough, Emily. It's going to be an unhappy existence if you don't make some changes.
Emily, you know you're not in a good space, right?
No, I know. I'm like getting better. My life has changed. It's turned around for the better.
What's your question tonight? You need some work, that's for sure.
Well, I've kind of, I don't know, since then, I've kind of been overly sexually active.
Of course, yeah. You're looking for approval in a way that you didn't get with the guys who raped you.
Well, what tends to happen is, strangely enough, after a rape, women oftentimes will compulsively act out sexually. It's almost hard to explain rationally because it's sort of reenacting the trauma over and over again. to try to numb it,
you think?
Get control over it or something. I think to even talk rationally about it almost defies the fact that it just happens. Also, with the abuse and what had you describe your childhood? How'd you describe it?
What were the words, Emily?
Your abuse?
Traumatized.
You were abused or something like that?
Yeah, I've been tormented
and abused. Very poetic, Emily. But the fact is, after having been through that kind of a childhood, you're going to use whatever means you have available to make yourself feel better. And the things that are offered young people are primarily things like drugs and alcohol, sex, extreme sports, you know, loud music, things that sort of give you some release, do feel good, do work for you, but end up ultimately making you feel worse or having more serious consequences like addiction.
Yeah, I've dabbled with drugs.
I'm sure that's the way
it goes. Well, I mean, you know, every 17-year-old, you know, dabbles. Here's the thing, Emily, you need to know, and you do know this, you're different. Like, you've been screwed up. So you are officially different than other people. The thing that you need to do is take control of that and not allow that, like, not allow it to go down that path that you've heard on this show. You've listened to this show, right? A million times, Loveline?
Yeah.
You've listened to every effed up girl going, and then I married at 19, and then I was raped seven more times. You need to stop your own cycle. I mean, the problem is no one's in charge of you but you. So you're totally screwed up. You've been effed up. Now you need to stop it and start dealing the best you can. The number one way to do that is stop. Do not sleep with other people at this point. Just don't. It's, you know, you feel stupid and gross afterwards, right? It's not worth it.
Like 6 months afterwards, I was totally unable to feel fulfilled, happy in any sort of way. But yeah. I don't know, I kind of overcame that after, I don't know, maybe a year.
All right.
See, this is why you're the doctor. Well, Dr. Drew.
But here's the bottom line. That this is only going to, you're saying that what you're doing works for you. And believe me, all my heroin addicts tell me that the heroin worked for them for a while. So what I'm telling you is that this house of cards is not a very effective way to deal with the torment and abuse, as you say it. I'll just give you some basic advice. Other than giving, again, a glib response about going to get more therapy, how about you find a group of friends who genuinely care about Emily? Mm-hmm. I mean, that sounds kind of glib and ridiculous, too. But
that's doable.
Like, right. Find people who are just, you can just hang out with and just share a part of yourself with and feel safe and secure and focus on that and not socializing and not guys and not parties and just focus on hanging out and having conversation with people who pay attention and appreciate you.
And you don't, if I may say, and Dr. Drew may correct me, you don't vomit up all your issues to them. Like, you don't show up to the first lunch with them and vomit up like, oh, my God, I've been raped. Just you don't vomit up all your issues. Just, like, sort of piecemeal it. Like, give it, you know, trust someone. You don't wear it on your sleeve. Like, people don't need to know everything. You keep some of that for the right people to tell.
And slowly, sort of, again, just get a connection going with people.
Don't lie to anyone. I mean,
I knew you were coming tonight, so I watched some Mad TV tonight, and I saw a great skit, again, with Mo Collins and Bob Newhart, where somebody like Emily. And she just goes, I have two words for you. Just take it out and incorporate it in your life. And are you ready for the words now? Stop it. Just stop it.
Yeah, Emily, stop sleeping with people. Honestly, just if you do nothing else, don't sleep with dudes right now. Just take it easy. You've got your whole life to sleep with them.
That's right.
Whole life.
Lots of time to rack up huge
numbers.
All right. Here's a question for Nicole. It's 27.
Hello.
Nikki? I beg your pardon. Nikki is 27.
Hi, Nikki.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I was just curious, how did you get your start? I mean, you're so hysterical on Mad TV. I mean, you're just the funniest person on there. How did you get your start? Did you do stand-up comedy or...
Thanks very much. No, I actually didn't. I mean, I sort of took...
Stand-up's a different discipline, isn't it?
Yeah, even improv.
I think people are confused about comedy.
You know, I was trained... I mean, I've been acting since I was a kid. Like, I was on Broadway at like 7 or 8 doing...
What?
I worked with Bette Midler. I did Bette Midler's tour. And, you know, I was a backup for Annie, the musical. Like, you know, Pepper.
Oh, wow.
You know, I don't know if anyone knows Pepper. from It's a Hard Knock Life. But I was a kid actor, so I've been doing it forever. And then I sort of retired, if you will, at 12. And then joined again in college and went to college for it. And so mine is a very different, like, I was very much like Chekhov, Shakespeare. I was very classically trained. And then I came to L.A. and sort of joined the circus, if you will. Now, if you're in L.A. and you want to become an actor, I definitely recommend, and you want to be a comedian, I definitely recommend going to classes. Acting classes, Groundlings.
Were you Groundling?
I was not a gremlin. I did honestly did none of that. I wore a miniskirt to my audition. That's the best I can say. Is that I was a really good actor that sort of faked my way through being funny. That's the best I can say. I was not very funny at all, and I sort of faked my way. But if you want to start,
did you have comedic training?
Yeah, like professional training. Yeah,
I mean, I went to college for acting, so like, no,
there was some there.
I mean, yeah, there's some there. Like,
but that was more improvisational.
It was more like Noel Coward comedy. Right. You know what I mean? Like it. It was much more like play oriented sort of stuff.
Yeah, I did some of that myself. Yeah.
Oh, good, good, good for you.
Yeah, but people did say I should do comedic, but I don't know about standing up in front of a crowded room. You know.
Well, yeah, I never did it. You don't need to do that to be an actor. You just need to get into a class and go to Groundlings or Theater Sports or Improv Olympic and take classes.
Here's another question along the same line. Kent, 26.
Oh, Kent. Hey.
Hey.
Nicole, I've had a crush on you forever.
Too bad you're too young for me. Darn it.
Well,
26, not that young.
I was wondering, I love Family Guy, and I actually do really enjoy Kim Possible. I think it's actually pretty clever. Do you prefer doing sketch work, or do you prefer the challenge of trying to put everything through your voice and not having to, you know, put on all sorts of makeup and stuff?
That's my fiance.
Oh, God's sakes.
I have to say, you know, obviously I prefer acting to doing voice work in some way. You know, that's what I'm trained to do. But voice-wise, I don't have to take a shower. I don't have to brush my hair. And voice stuff is so fun. It's the best job in the world.
It's easy.
It's so easy.
Pay lots of money.
You're paid to do the easiest thing in the world. Not that this is easy, Dr. Drew. This is different. You need your brain to do this job.
No, I'm just saying.
But to do cartoons, it's really easy and fun. I love both. I know that's the lamest answer ever, Kent. Sorry.
But you were going to make a distinction between sketch and improv? That you started going that
path? Oh, improv is ridiculously hard to me. I'm not a good improviser. Like, I can hold my own. Like, I can... I'm just not that funny. I'm not a funny person. But I'm when entertaining.
When you have the written stuff too.
And when I can tell a joke when it's written for me. Huh. But like, unlike as we were talking about, Adam Carolla is by far in the years, you know, 13 years I've worked here, the quickest comedian I've ever worked with. Like the fast, him and Artie Lang, I have to say, are like the fastest guys I've ever worked with. And that's a skill that I do not own that is so unto itself, like, it's such a skill. Like, I don't have that, so I'm not an improviser. Adam is. I'm a good actor. Like, I act well, and I can tell a joke. But it's two different jobs.
Interesting. All right, let's see, you pick another call. Virgins, anal sex, hooks
up. Can't virgin and make it into a boy.
What's your fiance want? The anal sex one? Is that okay? He wants the anal sex one, right? Okay.
Wait, what?
Just saying.
No, go. No, not you. I'm confused about the question. Let's go.
All right.
JR
21.
What?
Hey, what's going on?
Hi.
Here's my question. I've been with my girlfriend for about 8 months now, and we decided to take the extra step, and I was like, hey, why don't we do this? And she said, okay, so we...
Let me reinterpret that story. JR was just pounding on her for months about this, and finally she went, all right. We decided to take the extra step.
Well, can you say the word? Can you say...
Yeah.
Anal sex?
Yeah. Oh.
I just said, hey, can we do it the other way? And I was just trying to beat around the bush and get her to say yes, and she finally did.
Pardon the pun.
You wore her down until finally she capitulated.
Yeah.
All right.
And then we did it, and I kind of passed out that night, and I didn't wear a condom because I figured I can't get her pregnant anyway.
Oh, that's adorable, JR.
Yeah.
Very romantic.
What a romantic. You effed her in the butt and then passed out. Aw.
Yeah, I'm a big sweetie. But, I woke up in the morning and I kind of had a rash on my penis, and I went to the doctor the next day, and he told me that I had a yeast infection.
I'm no doctor, but you can't get a yeast infection from the beer, can you?
You can get it from just about anything, but did they do a scraping?
Yeah.
They did a scraping. Did you see a dermatologist or you saw a regular doctor?
Yeah, I went to a dermatologist. They referred me to a dermatologist.
Wow. Okay. Well, then it's a yeast infection. Okay. You probably...
I don't know. Is that from... can I get that every time I do that? Or is
it was probably from before, right? It was probably from effing her the right way.
It probably was before, and probably just the irritation of all you were doing just got it more inflamed and more noticeable too, I bet you.
Oh, okay. So
it's basically the same thing you can get. Like it's almost equivalent to a jock itch. It's similar.
Because the girls hold their yeast infections in the VG.
They do for the most part. And the men get a skin infection. Yeah. And when he said, you know, did he say fungus or yeast?
It was just a yeast infection. I had yeast.
Yeah, that's from the VG.
Gave me some pills to take and said don't drink.
Wait a minute. They gave you Flagyl or they gave you Diflucan?
Okay, cool.
Hey, Jared. Did they give you Flagyl or did they give you Diflucan?
Diflucan.
All right, that's the yeast medicine.
Yeah.
So there you go.
You
all
got
right.
it from the VG and then you just irritated it by going up the...
Ooh. Good times. Did your girlfriend appreciate your...
She was fine.
I understand.
For a yeast infection test and...
No, I know. It's just, it's your skin. Look,
it's not a test. It's relaxed. It's just a yeast infection.
But I'm just curious. is it something...
It happens all the time, JR.
That whole maneuver you did, was something she was appreciative of or she didn't like so much?
She was kind of in pain for a couple of days, but...
Yeah. Oh,
we were okay.
Oh, yeah. We were at... Sir Walter Raleigh. The guy's awesome. Now, my point has been, you know, that's a part of the body that particularly women have trouble with, like in their 70s and 80s. Stuff starts happening that it doesn't hold tightly any longer.
So you're saying someone at 21 can mess
saying,
up what happens in their
70s? I'm saying...
No, seriously.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can get... They already risk for things like prolapse. I mean, the rectum can fall out and it can rip. Yes, rectal prolapse. It kind of turns inside out.
Oh, Jesus.
What I said, I got feelings for you. Can I prolapse your anus?
So yeah. It can entirely disintegrate, for lack of a better word.
It just tends to already. You get hemorrhoids, you get fissuring, you get perirenal abscesses, and you get prolapse. And prolapse is not a pretty thing when that happens.
So you're saying unless it's something you need to do,
unless something
shy
you're really
away.
Into, here's JR coercing, you know, beating his woman into submission so she'll try this thing. She's in pain for days afterwards.
Let's say there's been girls that have done it like a couple times. Like, are they screwed? Because, you know, I always quote you with the ecstasy and I always say, like, if you've done it X amount of times, you're a subject.
You're in trouble.
I can't say that about anal sex. You don't know.
And clearly there's some people for whom this doesn't hurt. So I imagine it's probably not as problematic. I mean, your body tells you when you're doing something harmful to it. Mm-hmm, you pain.
Mm-hmm.
And some people really, really like this. Some women are just... into it.
Yikes.
And whatever. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying, you know, if you're doing something that hurts and you've had to coerce her into it and she was in pain for 2 days and had to take sitz baths 4 times. I mean, come on. Oof. What are you talking about here?
Wait, I love this.
That?
Jason.
All right, Jason 23.
Jason, remind me.
Jason. Jason.
Sorry, Jason, go. Yellow.
What's your fiance's name?
Jason.
Could this be he? Did you call in a little while ago? No. Jason, or caller who goes by Jason. Oh, he's gone. Okay.
But can we just say what he said?
Yeah.
Hooks up with girls and after sex loses interest. Really? That's startling.
Mm-hmm. It happens a lot.
You and every other dude ever. Go.
Well, let's take a little break. Let's do that. It's time for break. Nicole Sullivan is filling the immense shoes of Mr. Carolla. And they feel a little snug. They fit quite nicely on you.
Yeah. He's got a small...
Oh, I'm just saying. Yeah.
Yeah, no, nothing.
Okay.
I'm already reading the next... Okay, go.
Hot big penis.
No. At least not the way he says it.
Oh, Adam.
Hot Properties, October 7th, ABC, 9:30 Fridays. You can catch him tonight on Comedy Central. He follows The Daily Show. Mad TV, Nicole, was six seasons?
Six seasons.
Mad TV, King of Queen, Kim Possible.
But Friday night's 9:30.
Friday at 9:30 starting October 7th. ABC. Hot Properties, and we'll be back with more Love Line at 1-800-LOVE-191 after this.
Big penis.
Thank you for calling Love Line. Your call will be answered in the order it seems interesting.
Call Love Line. Call Love Line. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Right, Love Line, 1-800-LOVE-191. Would you prefer Nicole the Great or the Great Nicole Sullivan or Nicole Sullivan the Great?
Nicole, it makes me sound old. So like,
well, the Great Nicole Sullivan is ageless.
You call me Nikki the Cool.
Oh, did people call you Nikki?
Yeah, Nikki. My good friends call me.
Oh my God, I can call you Nikki now. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely,
it's Nikki the Cool. Yeah, Nikki the Cool, Nicole Sullivan.
Now I sound like I'm in Greece.
Hot lightning. This time he was talking to you.
Oh, into the mic?
Into the mic.
Into this thing right here.
Anderson, I think when you call out orders to the guest, you ought to like do it over the air. So it's not so mysterious when we stop
Nicole,
talking.
Sweetie, could you please talk into the mic for me?
Thank you.
Was that over the air?
That's now on the air. You can tell.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you. Okay.
I get nicer when I'm on the air, right?
Oh, man, do you? Otherwise, just sort of barking at us.
I try to do it quick. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know, but it stops us. Right?
I'm an actor. I'm used to, like, when someone gives orders, I hop too.
Speaking of scared.
Pop the top.
That damn shuttle this morning, the space shuttle.
Wait, did it land yet today?
Yes, it landed this morning.
God,
didn't you hear that the sonic boom? It threw me out of bed.
No.
What?
I was still up. I thought it was the neighbors banging on the door.
What time did it land?
5 o'clock this morning.
I'm glad it landed. When I went to my dry cleaners, it looked like it landed when I was watching CNN and my dry cleaners. But I was legitimately, I was like, oh, they're all dying.
In fact.
Up until today, I was like, oh, they're all dead. They're dying in a fiery death.
I got to tell you, I had a very strange experience. The sonic boom, it's a double boom. People that don't live in Southern California don't know. It lands here in Southern California. Because it comes in, it gives a double boom that is so loud, it's bizarre. It sounds like a bomb going
off. Jason, did you wake up?
He didn't hear it. And well, this morning, different parts of the city heard it differently, but I was in an area where the house shook and my dogs freaked out. I was awake and I thought it's an earthquake. And then I immediately thought, oh, it's a damn space shuttle. And I thought, that must mean they're landing. Thank God they're fine.
You know, I
instantly went, oh, that must be a good thing.
Okay, I was a wife of one of the guy, or, you know, husband of one of the people, because, you know, this time it was a woman commander. Mm-hmm. If I was, I would honestly take a pill. The minute they left, I would take a pill like Sleeping Beauty or something. I would like, knock me out for 2 weeks. I do not want to be awake until they come home.
Right.
Because I would be nauseous and vomiting every day. Like, a small piece of tile came off.
We're pulling a cloth off the tile today.
Yeah, we did a 360 rotation and we decided nothing. Like, I'd be like, yeah, right.
Yeah.
They're going to die a fiery death.
I know. Ugh. And all you would need is the tiniest little millimeter of heat to get through and melt. Everything.
Mm-mm-mm.
All right, let's go on to something else. This is Crystal is 23.
Hi, Crystal.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
What's going on?
Not much.
All right. Well, you called us.
Work.
All right, good.
I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
I am 23 years old, and I've been married to my husband for 4 years, and never been able to experience an orgasm.
Ever with anybody?
Yeah. With nobody, yeah, correct.
Crystal, can I ask a question? Are you stoned right now?
What's that?
Are you stoned a little bit right now?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Well, when you guys picked up, I was beginning.
Oh, you just took a hit just then. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't help a sexual functioning anyway, so that's one thing that, for I know people can argue with me about that. For the most part, it works against.
But for the most part, okay, so have you never masturbated?
I have. See, the problem is I can get all the way up to where I feel like I'm going to have an orgasm, and then it just goes away. I cannot.
By the way, there's also in the male, there's no version of that where it's like, male version of that.
Oh, there's no male version of that?
No.
I know what she's talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been through that experience, but, you know, I also...
How'd you overcome?
Well, no, I mean, that just happens one out of
Once
X amount
while.
Of times. Yeah,
yeah.
Most of the time I can come, but.
Crystal, does your.
It would be wonderful.
Does your husband perform oral sex?
Yeah. Pretty much every single time.
Does he understand what he's doing? Can you direct him in ways that are optimal for you?
Yeah, he does a good job. It's just like I said, you know, I can get all the way up there, and most of the time it's hard for me to become aroused. It's very difficult for me to become aroused, and once I do become aroused, it takes a very, very long time for me to start feeling the sensation.
Okay, let me ask a question, Crystal. Seriously, I'm not being sarcastic. Do you watch porn at all?
Very seldom, but I have. Yeah.
I honestly, as Dr. Sullivan right now, I recommend a glass and a half of wine and some porn.
Any special kind of porn?
Whatever turns her on.
Doesn't have to have a story with it or anything.
I mean, for women, it's like, honestly, watching porn is hilarious because you're like, they would never do that. Like, it's hard. You have to sort of erase your intelligence from porn because it's ridiculous.
And the guy's thinking, why isn't it ever like that?
But I say a little bit of wine and some porn and like, just try to get into whatever's going on.
Yeah. So the question that I'm asking then is it physical? Is it something? Am I lacking testosterone? Is there something
Are you menstruating normally?
Yeah.
Are you on any medication?
No, just birth control, of course. I know that has a little bit to do with it, but...
The birth control could be a lot of the problem. The progesterone, for most women, the progesterone component of the pill can kind of shut you down. For other women, it's the estrogen. It actually changes the level of sex hormone binding globulin. So it could be the birth control pill. You might want to change some of that, the dosing or the type of pill you're using. And then beyond that, it's exploration, maybe technology.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole, a helper?
Honestly, I think it's in your head. And I don't mean that in like a negative way. Like you're stopping yourself, because I don't mean it as punishment. I mean, you've got to make yourself go to a different place. So wherever your head's been going, where you're trying to come, you have to just go to a different place. Whether that means fantasy or, you know, porn or like getting drunk or like whatever. I'm serious. Like,
or relaxing or feeling
like whatever feelings, you need to do. Or like imagining certain body, whatever you need to do, you just need to change your mindset, because clearly the way you've been doing it hasn't been working.
Interesting.
But you're able to do it. I guarantee it at some point you can.
Now, so this recent study showed that it is in fact genetics that determine whether women can have orgasm with just oral sex or with intercourse or be multi-orgasmic. And the multi-orgasmic women will have multiple, like 20 or 30 or 50 in a row with no refractoriness.
What is refractoriness? There
will be no... They will just have one after the other, after the other, after the other, just that quickly, pow, 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 until they fatigue.
Uh-huh.
That's a particular genetic makeup.
Uh-huh.
And when you talk to those women that have that experience, and that's always during intercourse, and those women tend not to like oral sex.
Always during intercourse.
They tend not to like oral sex. Mm. And those women, when they hear their peers talking about how difficult it is for them to have orgasm with intercourse, you talk to them and they'll say, well, my friends are either lying,
uh-huh,
or they just understand what they're doing. They haven't figured it out yet. When the reality is those are two genetic pools.
See, I always think that women say that I had like 7 orgasms when having intercourse. I was like, yeah, right.
No, that's somebody. Some people can do that. Some people have 50, and some people they're sort of
50.
They're sort of the multiple group. Yeah, multiple.
Cow.
And then there's people that have sort of a couple sequentially, usually with intercourse, and they're those that can have orgasm with intercourse most of the time, and they're those that can have orgasm with intercourse like never. Which is about 50% of women.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Most women only have it with some sort of direct like stimulation, like oral sex.
Hmm.
Does that make sense? Does that fit with your experience?
It absolutely does.
There you go. What do you want to take next?
My fiance's looking at me, so I'm like, I don't want to talk. We have good sex, though, honey, right?
Your fiance is my best friend right now.
He's the
best. Brought Taco Bell. It's fantastic.
The crunchy and the... I have multiple, but it's...
Sequential.
I have multiple, but it's... But it's sort of mixed. Like it's sometimes sex, sometimes intercourse, sometimes the other.
That you're sort of in that middle category, right?
Right, but yeah. I can almost always come.
Mm-hmm. That's a middle category.
Okay,
that's sort of, you can have multiple sequentially, but you wouldn't have one from the moment things started until you fatigued.
No.
That's a different
person.
Different thing. What do you think? Pick one.
Wait. Wants to shut here is GF. What is a GF?
Girlfriend.
No.
Another answer.
Oh yeah. That's right. Infection is just... Yeah.
This? Ecstasy.
Yeah.
All right. Take an ecstasy call. This is Angela, 25.
Hi.
Hey there.
When my boyfriend and I got together, we were both doing ecstasy quite regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering what the long-term effects of that are as far as libido. Does that permanently affect your sex drive?
I have seen cases where it does. And where there is like horrible shutdown, for the most part, that's not the case. For the most part, it sort of drops commensurate with the degree of depression that you're left with after the drug goes out of your system.
Dr. Drew, how many times do you say, because this is what I always quote my friends, how many times do you say taking ecstasy until you're almost guaranteed to have some level of depression?
If you've had 20 or more hits of ecstasy, I put you in the sort of
Angela laughs.
If you're in the 50 or more, you're going to need to be on medication your whole life with all probability.
And what about, what's the difference between that and
acid? Acid, it's more in the 50 to 100 range before you start to see the real serious
problems. Oh, really? So ecstasy is more
brain damaging.
Because it goes right to the serotonin.
Yeah, because it actually, we begin to understand, since you and I last talked, we've begun to understand how it happens. It actually, you know how brain cells use neurochemicals to communicate with one another? And they're like norepinephrine and epinephrine and dopamine and serotonin. And these chemicals are held in little vesicles at the tips of the brain cells. And they're released, these little sort of bubbles are released into the space between the cells. And they diffuse across and then cause a reaction in the adjacent cell. These vesicles tend to stop working when you use a lot of ecstasy or amphetamine. and the vesicle sort of doesn't function normally. It leaks. It doesn't form properly. So the chemical, the dopamine or the serotonin, mm-hmm. gets free inside the cell. It's not supposed to be there. It's supposed to be packaged.
Right.
And free inside the cell, it forms the actual brain chemical itself, turns into a free radical, and destroys the cell.
Oof.
So it's actually your own brain chemistry. Mm-hmm. It's not the direct effect of the amphetamine. That's what the current research suggests.
Like a white blood cell would attack its own...
It's more, that's a way of thinking, but it's more that the chemicals get loose in the cell, and then they convert into something else that's highly destructive.
So what kind of permanent depression does that cause?
The characteristic syndrome is memory problems and panic, agoraphobia, and depression. So typically, what's that?
We both do have anxiety disorders, mine has been diagnosed as...
panic.
Let me see if I can. PC. What is it? Post-traumatic stress syndrome.
All right.
What was your trauma?
I was in a severely abusive relationship.
I think you better tell your doctor about the ecstasy and/or see a doctor who's used to dealing with this. Because let me tell you the syndrome that I typically see with ecstasy. Somebody's going out all the time, doing ecstasy all the time. Do it. Then all of a sudden they don't want to go out so much, and then all of a sudden they're kind of isolating, and then all of a sudden they're getting kind of anxious and preoccupied. And then all of a sudden they get panic attacks when they go outside. And then all of a sudden they get profoundly depressed. That's the syndrome. And that depression is often lifelong. Not as severe as when it first comes on, but often needs long-term management.
Is that you, Angela? Did you describe you?
That sounds like both of us. But the thing is, a lot of the medication does cause, like Zoloft or the Prozac, it does cause a lower libido.
Absolutely. So you want to, if possible, a good drug for this is called Cerazone, because it's a direct agonist, not a serotonin reuptake inhibitor. So Cerazone is less likely to cause the sexual dysfunction. Remeron and Wellbutrin. Again, Wellbutrin's another good one.
I've been on Wellbutrin for about 6 years. Honestly, as far as I can tell,
No sexual side effects. In fact, some people get enhancement with Wellbutrin sometimes.
Yeah. Prozac was a bit of a bummer.
Shut you down.
Yeah.
And you had a depression problem?
Yeah, since I was 21.
And you'd mentioned, I don't know if you want to talk about this in the air now.
No, it's fine.
You came from a family of origin with a very interesting, very rich and colorful history, heritage.
Very, very colorful. Everyone's a good person in my family, but just a lot of,
stress.
No one hit anyone. My parents didn't get along, and there was some cheating and a lot of stress.
And for a kid, it's stressful. No,
very,
no?
Very stressful. And I think at the end of the day, my mom suffered from depression her entire life,
so
and
maybe
just
it's
undiagnosed.
A genetic thing for you.
And so, my sister and I both sort of battle it. And, at 21, I realized it. Like, I remember going to a psychiatrist, and I was so depressed, but, I didn't know what it was. And I remember looking in the office, and there was a People magazine I forget who it was, but some actor who was, like, battling depression. And I, of course, I'm like, oh, my God. And I opened it and read it and said, the signs of depression, you only want to hear about other people who are depressed, and the only thing you want to read is about other people being depressed. And I remember running up to that People magazine and opening it, and I was like, oh, that's clearly me. And I've tried to go off antidepressants 3 different times, and all 3 times, not so much.
Somewhere between 50 and maybe 60 or 70% of people who need antidepressants will have recurrences. So there's a school of thought generally that all things being equal, the longer-term management is probably the way to go.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to not be on it. Mm-hmm. Like, I certainly, but at the same time, I'm not ashamed to be on them, and I know that I've tried 3 different times and it doesn't work.
For the sake of educating people, how did it manifest in you, the depression?
Honestly, I thought about killing myself every second of the day.
What would other people have noticed about you? Were you irritable or snippy or labile?
Just like to myself and everything.
Isolating.
Everything was huge. Like, everything was unmanageable.
Mm-hmm.
Like laundry was unmanageable. Mm-hmm. A simple problem at the office, like I was working in an office at the time, a simple problem with a coworker was unmanageable.
The two classic experiences of depression is feeling overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed with everything.
And irritable.
Yeah,
those are the two, and people miss that.
And suicidal.
The suicidal is a good clue there, but sometimes you may not have that.
But not like not wanting to kill myself. Just everything was like, oh, forget it. That's the best way I can describe it. Like I would say, oh, I just kill myself. But everything was never mind, forget it.
I treat drug addicts and alcoholics, I call it the effets.
The effets? Oh yeah, effet.
Just
yeah.
effet. Just
that was every thought I had. Effet.
Yeah, and effet. That's when alcoholics addicts relapse when they get that. And that's
usually
depression.
No.
So here we go. We're going to take another break. It's an interesting show tonight. I hope you all enjoy it. I certainly am because the great Nicole Sullivan, Nikki the Great, Nikki the Great, did we decide?
Nikki the Cool. Nikki the Cool
has joined us tonight. You know her from Mad TV. You will know her in the fall, October 7th on Hot Properties, ABC 9:30 Fridays. And we've got Brittany. Nicole's pointing anxiously at Brittany's call.
I love it.
Why don't you read it?
Yeah. Wants to have a lesbian experience, but her family won't approve.
What to do?
It sounds like a bad penthouse.
What? It's like a team
beat.
What
do I do?
What to do?
I love it, Brittany.
Nicole Sullivan, Dr. Drew, Adam will be back next week. And we'll be back with more Loveline and Brittany after this.
Loveline. We'll be right back.
Loveline, Nicole Sullivan. Again, I'll remind those of you listening in the East, Discovery Health Channel, midnight, Strictly Sex. Please tune in. Interesting show this week. And Nicole, Hot Property. No, I wish that were true. Nicole, Hot Property is October 7th, Fridays, 9:30, ABC, and you know her from Mad TV. And we are going to know Brittany, who's 17.
Brittany.
Hello.
Brittany. Hey there, what's up?
I don't know. I have a really good friend, and I think that I like her more, and I want to have a relationship.
Do you like her?
Shut up. No, yeah, I think I really like her sexually, and I want to have a relationship with her. But my dad's a pastor and really strict religious family.
Did they?
So I'm just scared.
Do you feel that he was abusive to you? Is this
abusive?
Some sort of? I mean, is there any kind of payback in this?
That's what I was trying to figure out because, you know, pastor kids always, rebel and stuff. And, I don't want to, hurt her and, just do this because I want to piss him off. But I think that I really like her. And I
don't
know.
It doesn't sound to me like he did anything to her. It sounds like
no,
she's...
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
But
it sounds like she's a legitimate, cute little lesbiana. Which I think is awesome.
But the... The one thing that sort of troubles me is that she is so concerned about her family in the sense that she's going to make sure they find out. And if you really were just concerned and weren't rebelling and weren't giving any payback, you'd do it secretly and that would be that. I understand you feel conflicted and bad about it because your family you know would disapprove, but you would even be more careful to hide it from them then.
Well, nobody knows right now. My friend doesn't even know. I haven't said anything to her. So that's a whole nother story because I'm scared about that.
But I think she's...
You see what I'm saying?
I think she's thinking, she's going one step beyond what you're saying, which is, I could, fool around with my girlfriend, and she's got, many steps to deal with, which is, A, is my friend going to want to fool around me?
Yes.
And then B, but I think she's just, I think she's realizing that this may be her lifestyle. If for just now, it may be her lifestyle,
and that's
which means her parents are going to find out. Yeah.
Is that
so
it,
she's
Brittany?
Freaking out a little bit.
Yeah, kind of.
So you just, what is it you're looking for tonight? How can we help?
I guess advice maybe to tell them because they don't believe in kissing before marriage and they're just so incredibly strict about stuff like that.
Why are you gonna tell them? Just kiss her.
Well, when we were drunk we have, but I don't know.
You're poor
adorable.
I don't know if it was just because she was drunk and not because she really likes me.
Worry about her. Don't worry about your dad. Your dad's not going to know. Everyone hides stuff from you. You always hide kissing from your dad. Your dad doesn't want to know you kiss. No dad wants to know you kiss anybody right now. Just worry about whether or not you like her and she likes you. Or no, Dr. Drew's frowning.
No,
shoot.
No,
I'm wrong.
I'm cringing as a dad, just generally. I know every dad also much prefers this over what the guys would put her through. So it's the good news is
you wouldn't want to know. Your 17-year-old's kissing someone randomly. You don't want to know that. That's
they're drinking and kissing and stuff.
Sure, why not? So. It just makes you more.
How many all 17-year-olds drink?
Exactly.
Oh, I don't know. That's a mistake. That's a mistake to sort of put it out as that because it's. How many other illegal acts do you just do, and it's no big deal.
Only I honestly think drinking is drinking and smoking,
speeding,
pot.
It's doing and driving
speeding.
Fast.
Okay, speeding. And, he's right.
And having sex with underage people.
Okay, that's right.
But the point is that all those things you sort of try to kind of curtail, put an end to, and the thing about when you're on drugs, you're on drugs. You do things you wouldn't. People go, there's something I haven't heard as much of lately, but we used to hear all the time was. Well, I could let out my true feelings when I'm drunk, or my real feelings came out when I was on pot. No, You're on drugs. Your brain is working totally differently then.
You act like an idiot on
you
drugs.
You do things differently. You have different judgment, different experience because you are on drugs.
How about this, Brittany? Because you already sort of got drunk and made out a couple times. How about the next time, if you want to kiss her, you make sure neither of you have been drinking or anything else?
Well,
how about
last
that?
Time I wasn't drinking and she was, but I don't know.
How about,
what if she doesn't like... I don't want to weird her out.
How about next time neither of you are doing anything and then you test it out that way?
Right. You're not going to weird her out. She's already made out with you, number one. And then number two, I really think you need to examine what you're up to here. You want a relationship with her?
Well, that's what I would want. I don't know.
That's what you want. Do you believe you are a lesbian?
I think this is the only person I've ever been attracted to. Like, I've never had a boyfriend, never been attracted to boys.
Oh, interesting.
And I'm buying it. I'm in.
I'm just trying to. Trying to figure out how you manage this and still remain healthy and honest. And you know, at what point do you tell your family? You know, I think the bottom line is that just my general advice is if you are homosexual, whether it's homosexual male or female, and you know your family is going to have a very negative response, the one thing you want to do is build a support network.
Mm-hmm.
Generally speaking, we tell people make sure also you're away at college or out of home or something.
Yeah.
And if, by the way, you're dependent on them financially and you know they're going to withdraw financial support, you don't have to tell people until you finish stuff. But again, make sure you have a network of peers around who've been through this and who can sort of support you when the S hits the fan. Let's take this quick one from Jacqueline, who's 21. Jacqueline?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Great. I had a question. My boyfriend actually went into the doctor a few weeks ago because he was complaining of a testicular problem.
Pain.
It's actually a little bit larger than usual.
Right, and pain too, right?
Yeah. And they told him he had an E. coli infection.
Right. Well, he had called epididymitis. Very common.
Oh, it's very common. Okay, because you couldn't really explain it to me, and I'm just like, well,
It's epididymitis. It's an inflammation and sometimes an infection, the epididymis, which is sort of a processing plant that sits on top of the testy.
Okay.
Bacteria tracks down there.
Right now, Dr. Drew is using his hands. Yeah, you can't see it.
I'll show you a picture. I'm showing Nicole pictures. It's so really gross.
He's literally making balls with his hands.
I was.
Right now.
No, I'm not sure. Actually, literally showing you pictures. Literally.
Literally.
What's that?
Is it in the testicle?
No, it's on top of the testy. I'm going to show Nicole here. Okay. Wait a second. I need a pen.
I'm going to watch on behalf of you, Jacqueline.
The epididymis is this thing sitting on top here. See that bundle of noodles up there?
Uh-huh.
This is an epididymis here. Yeah. See this crazy thing?
Yeah.
And it things can track down from the urethra. And stuff that gets in the urethra are things that are around the urogenital tract, things that cause urine infections, things that are around the anus. And
like
E. coli.
UTIs?
And E. coli is a common cause of urinary tract infection. It's a common bacteria in that area. And then kind of track on up. It tracks up here. Where are we?
Uh-huh.
Tracks up here. And
Jacqueline,
then here's
I'm watching
the epididymis
this for you.
Again.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He's enjoying that, right?
Tracks up here. Gets
well,
around
no,
here.
Well, no, it's kind of gross, but I'm watching it on like a medical level. Uh-huh.
I'm showing you an anatomy textbook here.
Right.
All right. So he just takes antibiotics or anti-inflammatory. Sometimes
they're
non-infectious.
It's no worse than like a UTI for a girl.
Yeah, it's a little more difficult to clear up, but it's no more meaningful.
But it doesn't mean
really.
Like anyone did anything bad.
No.
It just means like there's dirt somewhere in the
One
in the
of
system.
Them things. Yeah. Means they're sexually active.
Jacqueline, nothing went wrong.
Nicole, we got to take another break. Nikki the Cool, we'll be back in just a moment.
If you need help,
call Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191.
So funny over there. Anderson?
I was being racist.
Oh, well, surprise.
Oh.
How did we sound, Anderson?
You guys sounded great. I loved it. I loved the vagina monologues compared to Adam's penis monologues.
It's nice, isn't it?
Very nice.
Yeah. Nikki the Cool. Nicole Sullivan from Mad TV. Her new show, Hot Properties, debuts October 7th at 7:30. Beg your pardon, 9:30 Fridays, ABC. So you're still on King of Queens?
No.
That's over.
Yeah.
But I'm sure reruns and syndications.
Well, King of Queens is still on, yes.
Yeah, but I mean, you're.
Believe it or not, they're going on without me.
But I mean, there must be reruns of stuff you were on.
Yeah, but mostly the Mad TV reruns.
Again, just everywhere now on Comedy Central. Well, Nicole, it's been way too long this time. Come back sooner, please.
It's been a long time.
It's been too long. You've been on the show how many times now, would you say?
I would say this is like my seventh.
Seventh time.
Yeah.
Dear friend of the show.
Thanks, everyone, for calling in.
That's right.
And just so everyone knows, I listened to the show just like everyone else, and I'm an old fart. And... It's so important to listen to Dr. Drew because he's the smartest guy ever.
Very kind. One of my old fart fans. It's great. All right, Nicole, thank you very much. And again, Adam's coming back probably on next week for the remainder of the week. We have fill-in guests. We got Jimmy Kimmel coming on later in the week.
I've heard of him.
He's bringing Sarah.
Okay, they're the cutest, funniest couple ever.
Yeah. So that'll be a great show, too. So thanks, Nicole, for joining us. And in the meantime, this is Dr. Drew on behalf of Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
You effed her in the butt and then passed out. Aww.
Yeah, I'm a big sweetie.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.